Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. It's been a wee while since I've seen you. You were off on your midterm break there. But we're gathered once again around the Word of God. And may the Lord bless us today as we look at His Word. We're turning to the little book of Jude, the last book in the Bible but one. We're at our seventh study today, though we haven't got too far into the actual epistle. But let's read the verses 2 and 3, just to remind ourselves again of what it is we're looking at. Jude, verses 2 and 3. Mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence, that's what a minister must do when he's preaching. Can't come to the pulpit in a lazy fashion, a careless fashion. All diligence. He has done his very best in studying, and he's going to do his very best as he preaches. That's how it was with Jude. When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation and the doctrines of the gospel, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly. Oh, that's a similar word to diligently. So what the preacher should be in the pulpit, the people should be in the pew and in life generally. They should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. May the Lord bless us as we look at these words. We've already had a look at these two verses, and if I might be permitted just to remind you of what it was we said in our last study, for we intend to take up again where we left off. I pointed out to you that in the verse 2, where you have reference to mercy, to peace, and to love, that to be warned of the dangers that sin and rebellion against God brings is a great mercy. It's a great manifestation of God's love. And there's nothing promotes true peace in our hearts like us hearing those warnings and taking heed to them. So even though this epistle is in itself a very controversial, warlike epistle, because Jude is, with all diligence, taking the fight to the devil. But even though that's the character of this epistle, it promotes peace and joy and contentment to those who heed it and obey it. We looked at that. And then we noted also that there are times when a minister must set aside the very important duty of preaching the gospel. And he must take up, as it were, the sword to defend the gospel. Let me tell you that the United Kingdom, back in 1914 to 1918, was at war. And again, in 1939 to 1945, the nation was at war again. And the ordinary duties of life were set aside. Men who were mechanics, carpenters, roofers, plumbers, electricians, stopped doing those things and joined the army or the navy or the air force, because it was a time of war. The nation was in danger, and the ordinary duties of life had to be set aside in order to fight the enemy and stop them invading the land and taking over. And so it is with the preacher. There are times when the common, proper, ordinary duty that he has of preaching the simple gospel has to be set aside. And they have to take up the subject that the gospel's under attack. Christians are under attack. Here is how the devil is attacking. We must resist him. That's what Jude says. When I gave all diligence, he says, I was very determined to just set before you an exposition, an explanation of the gospel truths. When I discovered that the devil was very active and had invaded some of our churches, and I had to speak so as to stir up people and make them realize the invasion that the devil had launched, and resist the invaders with their false doctrines. We looked at that. Now, I want to go a little further and consider with you that the care, this is important, the care of the gospel has been given into the hands of every Christian. Are you saved today? Well then, let me tell you of a duty that is yours that perhaps you haven't thought about. Look at what it says. This is verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The gospel is in your hands and must be protected. In a sense, you're in charge of it, you and every other Christian. That's clear from the teaching of this word. You know, here in school, from the assembly, throughout the day, you use textbooks. Right now, the most important book you're using is the Bible, but it's school property, and you're required to look after it. You're required to look after it, not to be careless or irreverent. And then when you go into the classroom, there'll be reading books, math books, and all the rest of it. And you have to look after them. You can't be careless and tear pages and so forth. The book's in your care. Well, that's how it is with the gospel, boys and girls. God has given you the textbook of the Bible to look after. And you must regard it and care for it and defend it. First thing I want you to really understand, this word delivered, it says at the end of verse 3, once delivered. The word, the Greek word, if I might explain it, means to put into the hands of another. God has put the gospel into your hands. I was thinking, as I read this, it's a bit like one of the most important athletic events, the relay race. Now, you know about the relay race. Usually there's four runners. Each one runs 100 yards, or about that. Maybe it's a bit more, but they run that sort of a distance. And they carry a baton, and they tear along, and at the end of the 100 yards, there's another one waiting to grab that baton, and then run and pass it on to the next runner. Relay race. Well, you have a baton given you of God, the Bible, which you are required to look after in your life and then pass it on to the next generation. Will you remember that? You're in a relay race then. We must carefully and reverently treat the Bible while it is in our care, so that when we pass it on, we pass on not an old, tattered, broken book with some pages missing and so forth. No, no, no. We pass on exactly what it was that was given to us. Paul said this to Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Let me tell you, children can know the Bible. It doesn't mean they know every word in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But it's possible for the youngest child to begin to grasp an understanding of what it is God says to them in the Bible. His love for sinners, the means that he has established for their salvation from sin, and he will care for them and take them all the way to heaven. Boys and girls can learn that. Have you learned it? Have you learned it? Paul says Timothy was only a child, but he knew the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He had been taught the Bible, taught the Scriptures from a child, and he was taught that he had to care for it. Each one of you, I'm sure, have some wee task given you in your house. Some of you, being older, will have bigger tasks, I hope. How often you have heard, go you and tidy your room. Especially the boys who are used to hanging things up on the floor. But in the kitchen, I'm sure you girls are given wee tasks to do. It's your duty to carry out what your mother, your father asks you to do in the house. Well, our Heavenly Father has given each one of us a task in his house. And it is to look after the Scriptures, care for them, study them, learn them, obey them, and make sure we share them with others and pass them on. The second thing I want you to notice is that the Scriptures have been given once. And I think that that would suggest to us the fact that we have to take special care of the Scriptures, because they're not going to be given the second time. If we lose them, that's it. That's it. Those who cast the Bible behind them, who ignore it, well, they have thrown away all hope. They have thrown away all opportunity of salvation. There'll never be another door opened for them to get to heaven if they have turned their back upon the Word of God. In the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, in the chapters 2 and 3, there are epistles directed to what is commonly called the seven churches in Asia. There are seven churches in the area known as Asia, around Turkey today, around that area. And the Lord told John, I want you to write seven letters, particularly to these seven churches. And in every case, the Lord warns them of sin taking place within their ranks. And he warns them of the danger that that sin presents. Here's what he says in the chapter 2 and the verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art falling, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. The candlestick was the symbol of the Lord's presence amongst them, the shining of the light of his glory and knowledge amongst them. And the Lord says, if you don't repent of your backsliding, I'll take away the candlestick. There's none of those churches mentioned at the beginning of the book of Revelation in existence today, because they didn't heed the warning. The Lord took away the candlestick. And it has happened throughout the ages in every country. It's happened in our land. And you know, boys and girls, we have to notice that at the present time, the gospel is being removed from Northern Ireland because of the failure of Christians to earnestly contend. Do you hear me? You don't realize, and how could you? But when I first came down here to preach back in 1967, there were a lot of mission halls that don't exist today. There were churches preaching the gospel that are not preaching it today. There was a number of Christians in this area, and that number is much smaller today. What's happening? the Lord removing the candlestick, because his people are not earnestly contending for the faith. If your mum doesn't get out the vacuum cleaner and the duster, you'll soon be up to your ankles in dirt and dust. And if God's people are careless and don't do what they should do with regards defending the gospel, they're going to lose it. You don't realise, of course, you're too young to study these things, but politically, we have a lot less freedoms and privileges as a people that was enjoyed when I was your age. A lot less. Because there hasn't been a standing up and a resisting of those who would take away the truth of God. Earnestly contending for the faith. If we don't do it, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose it. Paul particularly writes in his epistles warning that in the last days there's going to be a real departure from the truth of God. And he writes that in order to alert us. Every farmer looks at the weather forecast. He wants to know if there's going to be snow, if there's going to be frost, if there's going to be heavy rain, because if there is, he's going to have to take certain steps to make sure that his farm and the animals, etc., are safe. In the Bible there are forecasts about attacks by the devil, and we're meant to make preparation and be ready and oppose those attacks. Let me just close by saying God's people for a long, long time have been made aware, have been acquainted with the fact that at the last days, before the Saviour returns, there will be greater and greater opposition to the truth of God. Greater and greater dispersing of lies. Just the other day, what was it, Saturday morning, my doorbell rang. And I thought, oh, the postman has something for me. But it wasn't the postman. It was two ladies standing there, and they introduced themselves by saying, we would like to talk to you today about the Bible. Now, I've been around too long not to know who they were right away. Who do you represent? Oh, we're Jehovah Witnesses. Right, you've come to peddle lies to me, but I'll not accept your lies. Do you read your Bible? I said, yes, I read my Bible, and it warns me of people like you. Do you not believe that the Lord's coming back? Yes, I do believe the Lord's coming back, and he tells me that the sign of his coming is people like you arriving on my doorstep to tell lies. Now, I wasn't speaking harshly to the ladies, though I was speaking bluntly, so they didn't stay too long. But I tell you, it's not just Jehovah's Witnesses. It's every form of deceit and lie that is being peddled in the churches. Not just on the doorstep, people coming to tell you falsehood, but in the churches. Many denominations have given up their pulpits to the devil. That's just what it amounts to. You know, for instance, you older ones in particular, you may be walking down Enniskillen, and one day you see, oh, that shop has a new name. It's owned by someone else. And the person who did own it has gone, they've sold their business, and now there's the name of the people who's running the shop. It's under new management. That's how it is with many churches. Christ and the Bible has been removed, and the churches are under new management. The management of the devil. And this is happening, boys and girls, because there has been slackness among God's people regarding defending the gospel. They haven't been alert. They haven't been on guard. What did we sing this morning? Stand up for Jesus. There's a need for us to stand up for the Lord. Tell you a wee story. I've told you it before, I'm sure. but it struck my heart and has remained with me ever since I first read it. A man was in the open air proclaiming his atheism and denouncing the gospel and saying he didn't believe there was a God. He didn't believe what the Bible said. And there were two young lasses who had come along and heard this. And after listening for a minute or two, they said, "You're wrong! The Bible's true!" And the man said, "Oh, you want to argue? Why don't you come up and say something?" So the two young lasses stepped forward. It was brave of them. And they could sing. So they started to sing together, stand up for Jesus. And it made a wonderful impression upon the crowd there, the bravery of the girls and the simplicity of their answer and the exalting of the Lord Jesus. Now you might never have a chance to do that in that fashion, but you'll have a chance every day, even here, when you hear someone say something or do something that you know is contrary to what the Bible teaches. You should stand up for Jesus and say that's wrong. The Lord doesn't want us to do that or say that. That book is in your care, not just during assembly, but for the rest of your life if you are saved. Think on that today. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, I pray you'll bless the word spoken today. Bless the boys and girls here. Please write it on their hearts. Bless the teachers. Bless the running of the school. Undertake for it in every matter. And not only this school, Lord, but every Christian school. O God, meet the needs of this great work and bless it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.